Thank you so much for the week. I want to extend Ian's thanks for your hospitality this week and trusting us with your kids. It's been such a great week. And I would say I'll be back soon, but I've seen a vision of the future with the contraption on the corner of Godzilla tearing apart Graceville, and I'm a bit scared to come back. So hopefully you've seen that and you get that reference anyway. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for the week that has been. Thank you for the kids. And thank you for Jesus, that everyone needs Jesus. We pray that as we come to these parables this morning, that you would help us to understand them. And if they're familiar stories, Lord, please challenge us afresh. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever found yourself scouring your house for something that's lost? I'm sure we could all say yes at this point. It might be something as small and simple as some earrings that have rolled under a couch and you take months to find them. Maybe it's a bill lost in a pile of papers. Or perhaps every time you leave the house, you need to look for your keys. That's me a lot of the time. Maybe your search has gone to a much grander scale. You drop something valuable on a walk or a run. Or maybe a family pet escaped the backyard. Well, back in May, a Sydney commuter named Andrew Parker posted this photo on Twitter. The caption reads, "I'm sad. A child dropped bunny from pram getting off at Wynyard as doors closed." Andrew tagged Sydney Trains in the hope of a reunion. And Sydney Trains did, in fact, reply to him, saying this, "Hi, Andrew. Can you let us know what service you were on and what carriage you were in? We'll see what we can do." Well, Andrew's tweet was retweeted 1,700 times, including by politicians. People around Sydney, Australia, and I'm sure the world, wanted to see this bunny reunited with its owner. One such person was Terence Zong, who said this, "Hi, mate. My daughter is the owner of the bunny. She just dropped it when we got off the train in Wynyard Station. She was in the stroller." And the very next day, Sydney Trains tweeted this photo of the sad bunny reunited with its owner. It's nice, isn't it? I'm looking around, I can see smiles. It's a heartwarming moment, a heartwarming reunion. It was a search that pretty much took thousands of people, and it led to reunion. I guess it's different, the way social media works these days, to a hard search. But I wonder how this story made you feel. It's a heartwarming tale. And perhaps as I shared it, you felt a similar story in your own life with your own kids. Maybe you felt for the poor owner of the bunny and you desired to see the two brought together again. And perhaps you were a little bit enchanted by the result and the celebration of the lost thing being found. Or maybe you saw this and thought, it's a toy. Well, it is a toy, but it's so much more than a toy, isn't it? It's an item of comfort to the girl. And as replaceable as we might assume this toy is, it's actually of great value to the owner. The father could have gone to the toy store and bought a new bunny, but this toy is precious. We see that in these photos. The bunny held important sentimental value to that little girl. So when it was found, there was a celebration. The lost bunny was found and had immeasurable value to the owner. Well, in the passage we're looking at today, Luke 15, 1-10, I hope you've still got your Bibles open in front of you, Jesus shares two stories of lost things that are found. Both stories involve serious, hard, long pursuits. Both stories highlight the value of the thing to the owner. And both stories result in celebration. Well, at this point in his ministry, Jesus is being swamped by crowds. His fame is increasing. Luke reports in verse 1 that these crowds include tax collectors and sinners. We may know that these were the outcasts in society, the rejected, those who are mocked and treated poorly. In verse 2, the Pharisees and scribes, the religious elite of the time, they're complaining that Jesus welcomes people like this and that he even eats with them. But these two verses show pretty clearly that Jesus is ruffling the feathers of the Pharisees and scribes. He's welcoming the outcasts of society, yet the Pharisees and scribes, they don't want anything to do with them. Their responses are very different. And the way in which Luke writes about these outcasts in verse 1, that they were approaching Jesus to listen to him, well, I think it shows that they sense that Jesus cares for them, unlike the Pharisees and the scribes who were there. The Pharisees, they're against Jesus. And so in verse 3, he tells them a parable. Jesus is surrounded by these crowds, but what he goes on to say is primarily for the Pharisees and the scribes to hear. He sets up two stories, and he does so by asking two rhetorical questions. The first is in verse 4, and the second is in verse 8. Jesus is questioning the Pharisees, which not only challenges them in their thinking, but also gets them involved in each story. This story is for them. The first story Jesus tells is a story of a shepherd who loses one of his sheep. He leaves his flock to go and find that lost sheep. And he does. He finds it. He carries it home over his shoulders. And he calls his friends and neighbours to join him in celebrating the rescue. Secondly, there's a story about a woman who loses a coin. She furiously searches her house for it and she finds it. Then she calls her lady friends and neighbours together to celebrate the discovery of this lost coin. Both of these stories have a valuable lost item, and there are long and detailed searches. Now, there's a good chance this morning that these stories might be familiar to us, or they might be new. But they have something important to say to us today, just as they did to the Pharisees and scribes and the crowd listening 2,000 years ago. And first, we're going to look at the value of the loss to the owner. The shepherd has a flock of 100 sheep. One goes missing. Now, back then, a flock of 100 sheep was a fairly modest-sized flock. If you had 200, that's an average size. If you had 300, you're doing really well for yourself. But even still, on surface level, you might say that losing one sheep out of 100 would be a fairly insignificant loss. But to this shepherd, this sheep is valuable. Shepherds would usually count their sheep at night before locking them up to make sure that none are left behind. Now, I haven't ever lived on a farm. I don't know a whole lot about sheep. But my dad grew up on a farm in Young, which is in the Riverina of New South Wales. And so I asked him about his experiences of lost sheep. He said that sheep are animals that we may know this. They're prone to wander. They'll eat a little bit of grass, then they'll move on to the next one and the next one until they've completely left their flock behind. They're metres away. Also, if there's a hole in a fence, the sheep will find it and the sheep will make their way through it. But sheep are also very vulnerable creatures. When they're alone, they can become easy pickings for wild dogs. A lambing ewe lying with her feet uphill can't get up, and often will have their eyes taken out by crows, left to die. Sheep wander, and they're vulnerable. And the shepherd in this story knows this, and he isn't content losing one sheep out of 100. In the story of the lost coin, the coin, you'll see a footnote in your Bible, it's known as a drachma. It's worth about a day's wage for the average worker. Now, if you were to think about that by today's standards, I looked up and apparently the average Australian wage is $78,000. So this would be like losing around $200. Now, I'm sure that we'd all agree that that's a fairly decent amount of money to lose, isn't it? There's plenty that can be bought with $200. And so this lady is not content losing one of her 10 coins. The sheep is lost, the coin is lost, and both contain great value. Yet both these items do nothing to be found. The sheep might bleat for rescue, but who knows where it is? It's off in a field, distant from the shepherd. The coin doesn't jump out from the floorboards looking to be discovered. It's actually the owner of the item that performs the rescue. The search described in these parables is relentless. Note that the question is not whether the sheep or the coin will be found, but when. When will they be found? These items are so valuable to their owners, they won't stop looking until they find them. The shepherd goes so far in his search to leave 99 sheep unattended in the open country so that he might save one. It seems a bit foolish, doesn't it? The shepherd gives greater attention to the one lost sheep than to those who are safe and sound. But when the lost sheep is found, there's a great celebration amongst family and friends. The shepherd is delighted to have the valuable sheep, that one lost sheep, return to the flock. And when the woman finds her coin, she too calls her family and friends together to rejoice with her. She also seems to do something a little bit foolish. We might presume that she's spending money on a party to celebrate when she's just gone to great lengths to find this money. Is this a waste of time and energy spent searching through her house for who knows how long? Well, no. She's excited about the discovery of what was lost. Her valuable coin is back in her possession. The search for the lost is central in these stories, and the recovery of the lost results in joy and rejoicing. But what does it mean for those listening? For the Pharisees and scribes who Jesus is telling these stories to, what does a lost sheep and a lost coin being discovered help to explain? Well, Jesus shows what these stories are pointing to, and it's all about rejoicing. Look at verse 7. Just as the shepherd rejoices with friends and neighbours that a lost sheep has been found, in the same way there is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. And in verse 10, as a party is held over the finding of a lost coin, in the same way there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The lost sheep and the lost coin represent the lost sinner, a person who has wandered away from God, their maker. Like a sheep, they've slowly wandered away from their shepherd. Like a coin, they've rolled away from the one who keeps them. Sinners are lost, and yet the lost are not forgotten. So I want to spend the rest of our time together this morning to point out three things that these parables show about sinners. The first is that God wants sinners to turn to him. God wants sinners to turn to him. The second is that every person is valued by God. Every person is valued by God. And the third is that believers are called to share God's heart for the lost. Believers are called to share God's heart for the lost. But first, God wants sinners to turn to him. These stories show us that God has a genuine heart for the lost, and he takes the initiative to pursue those who are far away from him. This heart of God is described in Ezekiel 34, 11 and 16. I myself will search for my sheep and look for them. I will search for the lost and I will bring back the strays. God searches for the lost and he brings back the strays. Whether we are people who believe in God or not, we are all habitual wanderers. By nature, all of us are like the lost sheep, nibbling away at grass in a way that leads us further and further away from God. We've all chosen to live for ourselves, and we all stray away from him. And we do this in all kinds of ways, whether we outright reject God as our ruler, or whether we don't trust him completely with our decisions. I know for me that when I'm stressed, I often take matters into my own hands. I realize afterwards, oh, I didn't pray about that. I didn't give that over to God, which means that I'm trusting in my own strength rather than his. However, the good news is that God cares for us as one of his flock. He knows that we forget him. He knows that we wander away, and we are never hidden from his reach. We're never too far from his loving rescue. He wants us to turn from our sin, which means to repent, to turn back to him, return to his care. God loves us so much that he even made a way possible to come back to him through the death of his son, Jesus, the one who told this parable. He came to give us life and lay his life down for the sheep. It's through trusting in him that we can have assurance and we know that we are held in his care. Repentance involves a choice to turn to God. It's a change from being lost to back home in his care. And we can know with confidence that God is carrying us on his shoulders. And there is a celebration in heaven with no expense spared when one lost sinner is found again. God wants sinners to turn to him. Also, these stories show us that every person is valued by God. Remember when I mentioned before that one sheep in 100 and one coin from 10 might seem a little insignificant to us? Well, just like in these stories, to God there is not one sinner who repents that isn't important to him. When a single person turns to God in repentance, there is a great celebration in heaven. And although we can't see or hear these celebrations, it happens in the here and now. It's joy in the present as a lost person is found again. For the sheep, this rescue removed the risk of death. And this is true for the sinner who is found. The sinner can now find life with God and truly live. Every sinner is valued by God, and God rejoices when just one sinner repents. Yet those that Jesus is telling these parables to, the Pharisees and the scribes, remember they're grumbling that Jesus associates with sinners. Can you see the contrast here? Jesus is addressing the Pharisees. He's showing them how wrong their thinking is and how unlike God that they are. It's a big rebuke to them. And this leads us to think thirdly about the challenge that they and we have here. Believers are called to share God's heart for the lost. I think it's easy to read these stories. I found that going through before I wrote this. These are familiar stories to us. And the next story along is about the prodigal son. And many of us know that story about the lost son coming home. We can dismiss these as nice stories that show God's heart for the lost. But I think there's a challenge here for us as well. If God values the lost, then we who believe in him are to value the lost too. God wants servants who understand his heart to bring sinners back to himself. And God wants servants who share his heart for the lost. So who are the lost in your life? It might be your neighbours, friends, your morning barista, your bus driver, the person at the station who you see each morning, those who you spend time with at school functions, your workmates, maybe it's people in your own family, your spouse or your kids. It could even be that those who you hear about, but perhaps you don't come across all that often, refugees, the homeless, the grieving who are looking for a ray of hope in a season of darkness. Well, these parables set up a brief model for what it means to rescue something that is lost. And we can read these very short 10 verses and think it's a very quick rescue. But that's not necessarily the case. The search takes time, takes work, takes conversations and prayer, and trusting in God to change the heart of those who are lost. It's not an easy process. But as these parables show us, the joy at the end makes the effort worth the cost. We join in with God in heaven in rejoicing that what was lost has now been found. And I'm not sure how well we do that sometimes. When we see someone turn to God in trust, when we see someone rescued, do we really celebrate? Do we call our friends and neighbours and celebrate with them? I wonder if it's because we need to be more tuned into God's heart for the lost. that we might imitate him in the desire to see our friends and family return to him and celebrate together. Because as we know, every person here in Graceville, in Brisbane, in Sydney, in Australia, needs God, needs Jesus. And this is why Jesus came. He says this himself just a few chapters later in Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Jesus made a way. And together we with him are able to call sinners to himself. And we do this with love, gentleness, great joy. Seeking the lost takes work, but every soul matters and is valuable to God. But in the rescue mission, us who trust in Jesus need to realize where we sit before God, before we pursue others. As Jesus shares these parables with the Pharisees and scribes, he's challenging them on their own sin. As the religious elite, they see themselves as one of the 99 sheep who are safe and sound, one of the coins that are kept secure in the woman's purse. Their righteousness is superior to that of the tax collectors and sinners that Jesus has been spending time with. And then they probably thought that their righteousness was greater than that of Jesus as well. But the self-righteousness and the goodness of the Pharisees, it's not enough. They need to repent of their own sin too. They need to turn to God and trust in him rather than their own good, law-abiding, moralistic behavior. And I think we can all be like the Pharisees, relying on our own efforts rather than turning to God in trust, seeing our place as greater than others who don't know Jesus. It's in our nature to wander away from God, but he wants us to come to him and share his heart for the lost. So maybe this morning is the moment to realize that deep down we are all lost. Whether we've never trusted in God or we've been going to church for years and perhaps have just wandered away bit by bit, deep down, we all need his help. Deep down, we need to turn from our self-righteousness and achievements and let God do the rescue work in Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you that you care for the lost. We thank you that not one person is forgotten by you. And that many of us here can see that in our own lives, that you have brought us to yourself. Father, this morning we pray that you would be changing hearts, that you would be using us in your rescue mission, that we would share the heart that you have for the lost. And Father, please challenge us for the times when we have acted like the Pharisees, when we've tried to do it ourselves. Rather, help us to care for the lost like you do and love those who don't know you yet. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.